I do have an email if you want it. Do you want to hear an email?
Yeah,
sure.
Why not? Yeah, let's listen to an email. This one is from James.
Hey, James.
I didn't send any emails.
That's really good of you.
Hi, Asai guys. I'd like to say thanks. When I go to bed, I can never sleep because I get so anxious for the upcoming day. However, I know, right? However, I've started to listen to your podcast before bed. Listening to you three nattering science like informative nannies has really helped me chillax.
I take issue with that. Corey is the only one nattering science. I very occasionally natter a little bit.
I say nothing about science.
Badly remembered science.
It's just nonsense, really, isn't it? It's mostly nonsense.
Babble.
P.S. If Corey researches / hosts and James edits them all, what does Luke do?
He drives here.
I diligently drive here every week and sit down.
He has a few thoughts and then he drives away.
Yeah, what do I do? I don't really know. You are free to replace me if you wish.
I quite like you. I
with
don't know.
More utility.
You're reliable in an unreliable sort of way.
Okay. Should we start the show?
Yeah.
Before I cry.
Yeah.
Hello and welcome to The Sci Guys, the show where we talk about the crazy, weird, and wonderful stories from the science world. I'm Corey, and as always, I'm joined by my co-hosts, Jamp and Luke Cutford.
Hello.
Hello.
This week, we'll be talking about the link between Cornflakes, Churchill, and Teddy Roosevelt.
Cornflakes, Churchill, and Teddy Roosevelt. Did Churchill eat cornflakes?
Off of Teddy Roosevelt.
I know that the Queen eats cornflakes every morning.
Does she?
Yeah.
Every morning?
That's yeah, really pretty
much. Without
yeah,
fail. You're the Queen. You can afford something better.
Yeah.
Why get cornflakes?
Maybe they're gold cornflakes.
They were invented to make children not have sex. Why?
What?
Okay, so Kellogg wanted to...
Hang on!
Okay, so I can't remember his name. Kellogg. Mr. Kellogg.
Drop a bombshell straight away.
So John Harvey Kellogg wanted to stop, you know, youths from fornicating.
Right.
So he thought of the most boring cereal he could to, you know, curb that that instinct.
How does
in
that
them.
Make sense?
What?
Shouldn't he make the most exciting cereal so people are just eating cereal all the time?
No, because it...
And
it,
not having
hang
sex.
Hang on. I don't understand how a boring cereal kills the libido of teenagers.
Well, I don't think there's any scientific basis for it. I thought he just...
What?
Yeah.
This doesn't make any sense. What?
Look, I'm gonna...
Corey, you've made a big statement here and I need to know how this works.
It doesn't work. Hold on. Look, I will Google it. I was not prepared for this. Okay.
That's like being like, we need to curb teenage pregnancy. I'm just going to be as boring as I can and hopefully people don't have sex. What?
Okay. So... Okay, this article says that it was apparently to stop masturbation.
Right.
Which is one step before sex.
Yeah. But how?
Feeling horny? Have a bowl of...
Do they kill your sex drive?
So well, he thought that masturbation and sex were bad for the body and mind, and he thought that a plain meal would stop people from... It would like, kind of bore
right.
them. This sounds like something that should be fake, but it's just crazy enough for me to want to believe it.
Okay, so Churchill, cornflakes, and Teddy Roosevelt.
Oh yeah, we're doing something else, aren't we?
Churchill, link?
Okay. Oh, it's eugenics. We're talking about eugenics
today.
We're
talking about eugenics today, okay.
That's the Hitler thing, right?
Well, no. It's not the Hitler. Well, Hitler used it, but he didn't make it.
Okay. So it's the thing that Hitler popularized, the idea of.
So who
actually,
made it?
Hitler made it much less popular by using it.
Hitler made a lot of things less popular.
Look, let's just be glad that the mustache that he had was already terrible.
He made mustaches less cool.
No, that one mustache.
Just that
he took
one
away.
Particular style. Yeah.
Imagine if he had like the handlebar, right? No one could have a handlebar.
Did you know that there's a guy in America?
There's a guy in America
called Adolf Hitler. Oh. And when asked why he wasn't going to change his name, his response was, "I'm not going to let one guy ruin the good name of Adolf Hitler." One guy.
I mean,
just one guy. What has he done?
I mean, I understand what he means.
Right. So. Please explain this link.
Oh, yeah.
Before we digress again and you forget why you're here again.
So, who did I say? Churchill, Teddy Roosevelt, and cornflakes.
Cornflakes.
Well, as I said, John Harvey Kellogg made cornflakes. Churchill was Churchill, and Teddy Roosevelt was Teddy Roosevelt. All three of them were eugenicists.
I can understand. Oh, were they?
I see.
Yeah, which is ridiculous because Churchill was not a very desirable man. He did not have many desirable traits, and yet he wanted to eradicate undesirable traits from the human populace.
But in a very undesirable way, I assume.
How do you mean?
Well, because any kind of eugenics is inherently undesirable if you are making people who are deemed to be undesirable not pass on their genes. That requires... Is that all eugenics is?
Yeah, it is. It is.
Also, I was going to say, should we quickly define eugenics for the people
that... We
should
define eugenics, shouldn't we? Let's get into it. So eugenics is a pseudoscientific philosophy and kind of social movement that basically just is about improving the human livestock by...
Selective breeding.
But it's by encouraging desirable traits and discouraging undesirable traits.
Often by killing the people who hold the...
Killing, sterilizing, or just stopping them from breeding in any way. It's not a good thing. Not a good thing at all.
But the justification that these people use is they, or Hitler, for example, looked at the work of Darwin, and he said, look, we have natural selection that makes things stronger, and there are certain genes in the gene pool that make us weaker, and we should identify those genes, for example, people who are disabled, and then he wanted to eradicate them entirely by killing them or sterilizing them or generally not allowing them to pass on their genes, with the thought that he thought eventually we would evolve into supermen. And he had this idea of us being this superhuman race.
What? The Übermensch.
The Übermensch.
Übermensch.
Is that... Is that German for cornflakes, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Übermensch. And so it is something that is, to assert, if not properly explained and if not properly put into context, it can sound like a desirable thing. And that's what's so dangerous about it, is that on the surface, it seems like an okay thing because
we're just trying to improve society.
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing, because I do remember a while ago in another episode of this podcast, we brought up eugenics very briefly. Mm. And you and I said, well, on the face of it, it's not that bad a thing.
It's the method to which you get to the end. It's one of those do the means to justify the ends kind of thing.
Well, the thing is, what we'll discuss more is that actually on all fronts, it's kind of just a ridiculous idea.
Exactly.
So you mentioned Charles Darwin.
Yes.
It wasn't actually Darwin that Hitler built his ideology on.
Okay.
It was Francis Galton. It was back in the 1800s. So he was actually the half-cousin of Darwin.
Right.
Did Darwin steal his science from his half-cousin?
No, Galton built on kind of Darwin's work and kind of did what you said Hitler did, which is look at natural selection and figure out that, well, if we remove undesirable traits, and who gets to decide what undesirable means?
Sure.
Yeah, exactly.
The people that are in power. Then we'll have a stronger human race.
Yeah.
Which, the thing is, it doesn't really work like that. So... The way that he decided to do it was to have selective breeding and stopping people with certain disabilities or a lower mental capacity from breeding, but ultimately and just have smart people or good people breed. So that's how you kind of define positive eugenics and negative eugenics.
Yeah,
which is before I actually describe what they are. Positive and negative eugenics are terrible names.
I was going to say it makes positive sound really good.
Yeah, there's no positive eugenics.
Not necessarily good.
Yeah, exactly. So positive eugenics is kind of encouraging breeding by strong people with good traits, and negative eugenics is discouraging breeding by people with bad traits.
The really key thing that separate that Hitler and the people who support eugenics suggest is that they basically say it's not that they want to help push evolution forward. It's that they say that we, by creating society, by creating things like the benefit system or like safety nets for people with disabilities or with carrying genetic mutations that make them weaker against disease, things like that, by having our modern society and modern medicine, we are allowing or enabling genes that would otherwise be deselected by natural selection to continue passing on. And they see that as a bad thing. And we don't necessarily have to class it as a bad thing, but that's the basis of their belief, is that we're enabling what they would see as inferior genes to continue to propagate by allowing, what's the word? I believe there was someone I saw once talking about this. They saw that society enabled inferiority or people who would otherwise not be able to pass their genes on to continue to pass their genes on by working in what we would see as like menial jobs, because you can still get by in our society even if you're struggling with your physical body. And I think that's a wonderful thing, but they think that's a horrible thing.
Well, the thing is that that's the elevator pitch for it. You know what I mean? That's something that could kind of turn someone like, we're trying to just make everyone stronger because we've made everyone weak just by giving everyone everything.
Sure.
But under that surface of trying to help everyone, it's just racism.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And obviously classism. So there was this...
By the way, I do want you to debunk everything I say.
I will.
Absolutely, please.
I will. Don't worry.
I'm just trying to explain what makes it so attractive to a certain subset of usually men.
That's the thing. Yeah. The difficult part about... The difficult way of talking about this is that I can see why it would be an attractive idea, because it's dressed up to be very scientific.
Sure. Yeah.
And if you don't really know much about how evolution and genetics work, it seems totally sound.
Yeah.
But as soon as you actually dive into it, it crumbles and you realize, oh no, these people just hate poor people and people of color.
Yes.
And disabled people.
And the thing that they're massively missing is that the biggest strength we have in any genetic, in any gene pool is diversity.
So absolutely.
If you minimize which ones get selected for, there's going to be some virus or some bacteria that figures out a little hack in your genome, and you all have the same genome, and you're all dead straight away.
What's brilliant about the reason that we are here right now as humans, and there are no other, no others that came from the same branch of like the evolutionary tree as us, is because we just kind of bred with all of them and made our like. I was watching a video on this the other day. It's is it hominids? We just bred with a bunch of them. Like Neanderthals, they died out. Mostly because
of their genetics in us.
Yeah, we do. Yeah. Mostly because we just kind of, got around and we had bigger populations with more diversity. And everyone else died, but we were like, we got all the genes. Let's just keep on going.
We literally just stole all the good stuff.
We really did. Like, we are the one. It's like colonialism.
Sure,
but it's genetic colonialism.
I was about to say Britain in a nutshell.
it's literally awful. Genetic colonialism. Awful. That's how we exist. That's not to say colonialism is a good thing. It's bad. Very bad, but...
God, this is going to be an episode of walking on eggshells here, isn't it? Because we're going to say a lot of stuff that's like, especially when we talk about things like this, where we're like, hey, this is why it's attractive, that if you clip it out of the rest of the show, it's going to look real bad.
There are so many things that I was listening to one last week, and I was like, ooh, you could clip that.
You could clip that, and it sounds really bad.
Let's just say it's once fine. And for all, we do not think eugenics is good. Neither is Nazism. All of it's really, really, really bad.
Really bad.
But there are reasons why it's attractive to a certain type of person, but those reasons are false.
I feel like pretending like it's this horrible...
Let's just play that on loop for the whole episode.
That's the inside of my head for the rest of this political era.
After saying anything, you just have to be like, just to clarify.
I am not a Nazi.
Disclaimer, I'm not a Nazi.
I just thought of this episode of The Simpsons where like Homer goes in for an interview and then gets everything clipped out.
Right.
And you can see the clock just changing in the background. Anyway.
Did you see that incredible thing on Twitter the other week where it was a guy who had a swastika tattoo on his neck and also was wearing a poppy? And it was like, dude, you know what?
Can I just talk for 2 seconds about this whole poppy business? Like now that we're going into dangerous territory.
Sure.
It's ridiculous for you to sit there and wear a poppy and also just be mean to everyone.
Yeah.
And like glorify, saying, oh, these people died in wars and you didn't.
Yeah. Well,
yes, good. I don't want wars.
That's why they died in the war.
We're by saying war is a terrible thing, you're not saying that these people are terrible people. Yeah. They're still very brave for going to fight and die for their country. But it was an awful thing to do. It was a stupid thing to do.
Shouldn't have had to.
And if it wasn't for Nazis, they wouldn't have had to do it. So fight the Nazis now and stop complaining at people that are offended over everything.
Oh, I love it when the boomers are like, the children are so easily offended, and
oh my God,
and then they're like,
so
don't call me a boomer. That's
I love
not
that. Yet. I love that. Okay, boomer is taken off now.
It's perfect.
It was used in a courtroom. Sorry, not in a courtroom. In a politician used it somewhere.
Really?
I think it was in New Zealand potentially, where someone went on about something, and then this like young lady who was a politician stood up and went, "Okay, boomer."
Apparently,
it is just the millennials equivalent of Snowflake triggered Snowflake.
But it's been banned in some workplaces, supposedly.
Sure.
Oh, yeah. Which I've heard about that.
Fantastic, because who's the real Snowflakes here?
Yeah, but in her defense, what she then said was, Boomer is not an ageist comment, because it's not actually about age. Boomer is a mindset.
A mindset.
And you, like, a lot of people from that era have Boomer mindset.
That's what I find really funny, because whenever on Twitter you see someone say, okay, Boomer, and then the person usually replies like, actually, boomers are born between, what is it, 46 and 62. It's like, that is such a boomer response to be like, well, actually, let me teach you a thing. Like, here, listen here, millennial.
I hate when people say, oh, you're not a millennial. I'm like, no, I am. Like, culturally, I am. Whether I was born before or after 1997 doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we get back to eugenics, guys.
Yeah.
Let's breed up boomers.
Well, I mean that's what death's for, James. Hate to say it.
I mean, cold wind of time.
Yeah.
Hang on, James. Did you just suggest eugenics for boomers? Is that what you just suggested?
No.
I think it was.
Absolutely not.
Breathe them out is what you said. It's what you said.
It's no such thing.
Ooh, James. Oh,
luckily, I edit the podcast.
Officially cancelled for this podcast.
Okay, boomer.
This is a very difficult episode to record. So, unsurprisingly, I feel, the United States was the first country to have sterilizations carried out in the name of eugenics.
I actually am surprised. I would have thought the Brits would have had that first.
No, see, the thing is, we did positive eugenics. They did negative eugenics. Silly Americans.
See, the Brits are so positive.
They're
really good. What's
the difference? See, positive eugenics is saying only rich people should breed, and go breed rich people, only breed with each other. Whereas negative eugenics is saying, poor disabled people, I'm going to sterilize you now.
Or kill you.
Well, yeah, but sterilization is...
In the worst case.
Sterilization is what they were doing in America.
Sure.
Yeah. Surprisingly, actually, they also did it in Sweden up until, like, between the 30s and the 70s.
Well, that was a super liberal country.
Yeah, well, that's... eugenics is...
Weird.
Everywhere. And it's this thing that we kind of just don't really notice.
Sure.
And it's been around for a long time. People look to Hitler as being the one that started it, but actually, it started in the late 1800s. And then also was picked up in America massively. In fact, I want to tell you a story about a woman. In fact, the first woman that was sterilized against, well, her will, with no medical reason.
Mm.
Basically, what happened was Carrie Buck was sexually assaulted by a member of her foster family. She was perfectly mentally sound. She was healthy. There was nothing that a eugenicist could really say was wrong with her. But she was causing them some trouble because she obviously didn't like the fact that that had happened to her, to say the least. And they knew a judge in this kind of town. And so they went to the judge and had her legally declared as being feeble-minded. And she was forcibly sterilized, I mean, against her will, through this verdict of being feeble-minded.
On what grounds?
Was that because there was eugenics already existing?
So eugenics already existed.
Right.
And feeble-mindedness became... It just spread so that feeble-mindedness became a thing you could just say about anyone.
A cop-out excuse. Yeah.
So in the same way that a woman could be a witch.
Sure.
You're causing a bit of trouble. You're feeble-minded and
therefore,
we don't want you to
pass
out
your genes off. But why does that... Why does being... How does her being sterilized fix the issue of her being sexually assaulted by her family? Like, what were they... What problem were they trying to fix with that, other than that she could get pregnant if they did it again? Like, she can still tell people and they can still lose their reputation or get in trouble.
Well, the thing is, by being marked as being feeble-minded,
she's also insane. So her testimony is not believed.
Effectively, yeah.
So they actually kind of... It sounds to me like they wanted to have her just declared insane from the perspective of, like, discounting her testimony. And then as a side result of being declared insane, she was then also have, like, insult to injury... then was sterilized.
Yeah, that's a much better description, yeah.
Right. Okay, so it wasn't because... Yeah, okay.
Well, it wasn't because they wanted to have her stricken from the genetic record.
Sure, that's what confused me. That would be a very odd thing.
Yeah, my point being that this was something that... It's the same as putting someone on death row when you're not sure if they're innocent or guilty.
Right.
Except in this case, everyone's innocent and you're just... choosing who's guilty based on who you like the look of.
Yep.
You know, this spread this spread from being just about people that were disabled to being people that were slow to being people that were feeble-minded, to being people that were poor or people of color. The idea was that being poor was, or being a criminal, was a genetic thing. It was hereditary. You pass it down.
Oh, okay, right.
Which is fair, because being poor and being rich is a hereditary thing to an extent, because your parents give you money. If they have no money to give you, then you're probably going to be poor and it's going to be hard to get out of that. Whereas if you're rich...
But it's also is predisposed in your genetics by, for example, brain capacity, or like, it's not, I'm not saying it's right. I'm just saying that like there will be, like if you have a more intelligent brain, you're more likely to be able to become rich in our current economic system.
You'd think that.
Is that not true?
Well, I mean...
I mean, brilliant, if it's not true.
Some
great.
Really dumb people are really rich.
That's true.
Dumb rich,
you know,
people
what?
At the moment.
Ignore me entirely.
I mean,
look at Kim Kardashian.
One of the richest men, not the richest men in the world, a very rich man who is also the leader of one of the biggest countries in the world, is an idiot. Donald Trump was born rich, lost a lot of money, and then became the head of America.
Isn't he in like crippling debt?
All right,
as well?
Yeah, you know what? I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Like, just ignore me. And, there's also,
and even if you thought that
the main person in the world right now is evidence to the contrary of my point. So, yeah, carry on.
So, even the thought that intelligence can be bred down, there's this thing called regression to the mean, which kind of dictates that if you've got really smart parents, you're much more likely to be less smart. It brings the kind of intelligence to a mean level, rather than intelligent people having intelligent kids.
So interesting.
And also, intelligence is this very difficult to quantify thing that is based heavily on
mostly
upbringing, diet, and like nutrition as a child.
Sure. No, I just meant that there are people who are genetically predisposed to struggle more in our society.
Absolutely.
And that's like horrible, but it's an unavoidable fact of biology.
Well, it's more the way the society is set up than anything.
Yeah.
But so that's my point. It's all based on pseudoscience. It sounds right, you know, smart people make smart babies.
On the surface of it,
But it's not true.
Wow.
Exactly.
Thank you for disproving me. That's so exciting.
So you'd think that breeding humans is a lot like dog breeds, right? Where if you
want a small fluffy human, you select the smallest and the fluffiest.
I don't think I've ever thought that. Yeah. Well,
as in, if you so the idea of eugenics is kind of the idea of dog breeding, where if you want traits,
if you want those through. The traits you want, you breed. Okay,
in
that sense, yeah.
So,
I guess so.
On that note, I want to remind you guys that pugs.
Yes.
Unable to breathe properly because their faces are so squashed.
Didn't bred that way.
Chihuahuas are unable to swallow, they can swallow, but not properly. They'll constantly retch, like,
what?
Is that what they're doing? Because I've noticed that, but I
didn't
know that.
Across the entire breed. I think Dalmatians are more prone to cancer, but they're also...
I think I've heard that as well.
Yeah, they can also be quite dumb as well. For dogs, like, they are mentally stunted. Corgis, awful problems all over their bodies because their legs just stop growing.
Yeah.
That's the thing. So corgis, whenever they breed with other dogs, those dogs also have stumpy legs, which looks amazing. I love how it looks. But that's because their legs just don't grow enough. There's literally a kind of gene that just tells their legs to stop growing at a certain level. That also messes up things all over the rest of their body.
Yeah.
The point being that breeding for one specific trait brings a whole host of other issues.
Other stuff in, yeah.
So
that's in part because of the fact that every gene in your body doesn't code for one thing. It codes for many things.
Mm-hmm. And there's also when you breed for one trait, you might be adding in other traits that you're not really. Yeah.
And the idea that we know anything about what any of genetic code really does. We know correlations. When you see this gene, it means this thing. We don't really know anything else.
Well, so in some cases we do know like what one specific gene does, because we know the protein that it makes and we know how that interacts in the body. But in a lot of cases, it's kind of these kind of do this.
Yeah.
So let's just don't touch them. Like,
but also we could have a gene that like you have this gene and we think it's for like, I don't know, brown hair. And then when you're 80, it does something else.
Well, that's totally true. Yeah. There are a lot of genes that do multiple things, which is kind of why albinism can cause a whole host of other problems, when fundamentally it's kind of a lack of pigment.
Like blindness.
Yeah. A lot of people with albinism, got very poor eyesight.
Poor vision as well.
Yeah, because it's all down to kind of one gene or one group of genes that codes for...
loads of stuff.
For loads of stuff. Yeah, exactly. You guys have heard of prenatal screening, right?
Heard of it.
Is that where you go in and get like a cell and then you scan the genome of it to look for things that could potentially code for diseases or like problems?
Yeah, you're talking about pregnancies and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when you're a pregnant person.
Which I am.
Oh, congratulations, Luke. Thank you,
guys. When's it due?
Yeah. I don't know.
Who's the father?
The Lord.
Oh. That means you're Mary.
I am Mary.
But you're not married.
Neither was Mary. Sex. They were on their way to get married, weren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That's why I'm Mary.
Oh, Jesus was born out of wedlock. That's pretty terrible.
Sex before marriage.
Moving on. So when you're a pregnant person and you've got a baby in you, as pregnant people usually do, you go to the doctors to test your baby for any kind of diseases. Usually it's Down syndrome. You get screened for that. Mm. You can get screened for other things. I think if you've got a tendency towards... You know the ones where your lungs fill with water? I always forget what it's called.
Drowning?
Cystic fibrosis.
Cystic fibrosis.
That one.
Caused by one gene in a lot of cases. So you can get that tested as well. And before, it used to be a case of just terminating the pregnancy if you wanted. But now, obviously, we're quite good at editing genes, which means we can just...
True.
We can just like... Oh, goodbye, extra chromosome.
What?
I mean, I don't know if we can do it for Down syndrome yet, but we can definitely do it for cystic fibrosis.
Really?
Well, but that would make sense for that. Down syndrome, because Down syndrome is an extra chromosome, is it not? But you couldn't do for like a genetic illness, surely.
Well, it depends. Yet. So really? I am fairly certain we have done it for cystic fibrosis. I am definitely certain that we've done it for not an illness, we've done it for deafness. Which in some cases can be caused by a single faulty gene.
Wow.
Whoa.
But how do you change, like, because obviously it's already fertilized, isn't it? It's growing into a baby. Do you have to then edit the gene in all of the cells that are currently there?
So you would do it pretty much at the start.
Either, okay, so is this something you have to do in terms of like if you're doing it in a what's it called when you get the baby?
In vitro.
In vitro, yeah. Is it something you have to do in vitro, or is it something you can do once somebody is pregnant naturally?
As far as I'm aware, you can do it in vivo.
In vivo?
Vivo?
Yes. The music website.
Subscribe to SciGuys Vivo.
You can go to Vivo, and you can go, I don't want my child to have cystic fibrosis, and Justin Bieber Baby will play, and then your baby won't have cystic fibrosis. That's incredible, Corey.
Exactly.
Science is amazing.
Yeah, but basically, there's this thing called CRISPR, which I'm not... You know CRISPR?
Yeah, I know CRISPR. It's where you have this thing that goes in and just slides into your genome and replaces a defined set of genes.
Exactly. So I'm fairly sure, I'm fairly sure, I have done some reading on this, but I'm fairly sure you can do it in vivo, so in someone that's already... No, in vivo.
It is actually called in vivo.
Oh, yes. Oh, so, okay. Sorry.
Well, I was just like, what a stupid mistake he keeps making.
In vivo and in vitro. In vitro means in glass. So it's in a test tube. In vivo means in like in life. So it's inside of a person. So you would say in vitro if you're doing something in a lab, in terms of not in a living body, and in vivo is anything to do with in someone's body.
Wow.
Interesting. I thought vitro was just inside the body.
No, it's the exact opposite. So in vitro is...
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How exciting.
I was not making a silly mistake.
I didn't know CRISPR was already a thing. I thought it was just like technology was on the horizon.
Oh, no, it's a thing. I was amazing learning about it in uni. So and that was a little while ago. So yeah, no, it's absolutely a thing. So some doctors have been using it to edit the genes of unborn children so that they will not be born deaf. And there's been a bit of an...
That's a bit contentious, isn't it? Because
this is a very difficult topic to bring up.
Deafness doesn't kill you.
Sure.
That's exactly what I wanted to get onto. So in terms of getting rid of, say, cystic fibrosis, which is by all accounts
life-threatening,
just bad.
Yeah.
Being deaf isn't life-threatening.
It's a different experience of life.
It is a different experience. And a lot of deaf people are calling this eugenics, which, and this is going to be a very, very contentious thing to say, I take umbrage with to an extent.
Sorry, you take umbrage with You take Professor Umbridge with their claim.
I imagine the little pink woman.
Look, you're using a lot of things that I don't know. I didn't know in vivo was a thing. I didn't know Professor Umbridge was part of eugenics. Vivo.
If you take Umbridge to something, you have a problem with it. That's why she's called Umbridge.
Of all the Hogwarts
professors.
That makes
so much sense.
Sorry, say again?
To take Umbridge for something is to have an issue with it. Is to have a problem with it.
That makes so much sense.
Which is why she's called Umbridge.
She takes issue with everything.
Oh my. Wow.
How much do I have to teach you on this?
I just thought it was a cool name.
Okay, so you take Professor Umbridge with the claim that deafness is a valid and equal life experience as having audible
hearing. Don't put words in my
mouth.
That is not what I was saying at all.
That's essentially what you said.
No.
That is essentially...
No.
Okay, well, that's what it sounds like.
Let me finish.
Sure.
Okay. I don't feel like calling this eugenics is a good idea because of how awful eugenics is as a concept, as a practice, as something that has happened and is happening in the world. This is an issue, definitely, but it's much more... what's the word for complex? Oh, there we go. Complex.
Nuanced.
It's nuanced. That's the word I was looking for. It's much more nuanced than just flat out eugenics. Because in this case, you're not necessarily stopping someone from breeding or stopping someone from having children or stopping someone from being fertile.
Yeah, I guess it doesn't come with that baggage, does it?
You're changing one single gene.
Sure.
And in some cases, not that being deaf is a lesser life experience. It's a different life experience, but it's one in which you have one less sense than most other people in the world.
Sure.
Gaining hearing isn't necessarily like a negative. It's not taking anything away from the parents, other than the kind of deaf culture, which is a massive thing, which is why I can understand that it's such a huge issue. But I think calling it eugenics is kind of framing it in a different way than it really should be framed.
Sure.
Because it's not saying...
It's not really being forced, is it? It's not really being forced on you.
Well, that's the thing. Some people are saying that it is, and some people are saying that it isn't. People say, this doctor is giving... There was a very specific story recently where this doctor was curing deaf children. I say curing in quotes for anyone that's listening, because it's not curing. You can't cure deafness. It's not an illness. Effectively, people were saying that that this doctor doing this could be doing it against the will of the parents, or could be pressuring the parents into doing it, or could be forcing them into doing it. Which isn't fair, because there's no real proof for that.
Yeah.
I suppose this is an argument I somewhat, to a certain extent, do get. Mm. Because, for example, like, this is, again, this will be something fairly contentious to say, but I think, for example, our sight, our sense as humans of having sight is, firstly, incredible, but also a source of a load of the problems in the world. It's a source of all vanity. It's a source of most of consumerism. It's a source of like so much of the terrible things that are happening on our planet because we think we should be prettier than we are, or we think that we should only hang out with pretty people, or we should only mate with pretty people, or that we should buy a more expensive, flashier looking car than just a car that works. Or it creates this vanity, right? And it's not necessarily a good thing for us or a good thing for the earth that we are this way. And so if you were doing the same thing with blindness and saying that, and you know, it's a perfectly valid possible course of evolution that humans stopped having sight because it was bad for other genes or for the propagation of the general base genome or for the health of the earth that we had sight. And to say that we having sight is always a good thing is not necessarily correct. Now, obviously, I wouldn't give away my sight. I wouldn't want to not have sight. And I'm sure that somebody who is blind would love to have sight, or many people who are blind would love to have sight. But also, they will probably also be aware of the collective insanity amongst people with sight. Because somebody blind doesn't pick their friends or their lover or their family or their products based on what they look like. They pick it based on the utility to them and whether they're kind or they're whatever. And so it's not as clear cut as saying that all senses are definitely good.
That's a lot to take in.
That is a lot to take in.
I agree with where you're coming from. I kind of disagree with some parts of that. Namely, I don't think that sight is the root of all of these issues. I think that because it's our dominant sense,
yes,
it's something you can't get away from. Sure. It's been hijacked by all this.
Yeah, yeah. Sight is not the root of vanity. Well, but if we've lost our sight overnight as a species, there will be a hell of a lot less vanity in the world.
There's an Apple show about this, by the way.
I think that's what the Apple show is about. I'm not sure I watched it yet. Okay.
But my point being that it would only be a matter of time before the next dominant sense took over. I feel like saying that because blind people don't choose things based on how they look, it means that they choose things based on utility and what they're actually useful for. I feel like that's kind of a false... It's kind of like a false dichotomy because they could absolutely choose someone based on how they sound.
I just mean that if we say to a blind person, I am choosing this person over this person because they look better, the blind person's like, I don't know what that means, and the one who looks less good in your opinion is a nicer person. It's more obvious to somebody without sight our internalized insanity in picking somebody prettier but a less nice person if that were the case in this choice. And it wouldn't be obvious to us, us sighted people, that was the choice.
That's fair enough. Yeah. I feel like that could be applied to almost
to almost
anything. The thing with having more, I'm not saying more senses equals better. I just mean more senses means probably more advantages. Mm-hmm. I want to say here and now that using genetic engineering to kind of give hearing to more would-be deaf children is not something that can be done just on its own. That's if the parents are fine with it, and if that's something that they want, go ahead. But you need to make the world accessible as well. That's just something I feel like we should point out, that this is not a replacement for accessibility. Accessibility is a goal as well. But these two, they're not mutually exclusive.
Oh, yeah, definitely
things.
Not a replacement.
That's just something that comes up a lot. I'd feel pretty bad if we didn't mention it.
Mm. People go deaf after birth as well.
Exactly. So my point being that this is not to eradicate... That's another key point, that it's not about... It's not like eugenics where it's, let's eradicate this group of people. Because getting rid of... deafness can be caused by a lot of things. In this case, they're going after something that's caused by, I think, one or two genes. People going deaf after birth, people going deaf through different reasons will still exist. Deaf people won't be gone. Deaf culture won't necessarily need to die. But no matter how accessible the world is, there will still be...
Well, like you said, the world isn't fully accessible to deaf people. And so if there's two parents that don't have the utilities to raise a deaf child in a world that doesn't really accommodate for them all that much, then... I guess the option should be there to try and avoid that.
I think that both sides have got very, very good points, but I feel like it should really be down to the choice of the person. And ultimately, the difficult thing is that it's much harder to do this once someone has grown up and...
Sure. I guess someone could grow up and cut their auditory nerve if they wanted to.
Exactly, they could. I think the issue is...
Which no one does.
No, no one would. But the issue is, it's that...
I might.
So you don't have to listen to us, James.
just turn your headphones off.
I hate Sci Guys so much that I cut my auditory nerve.
The issue is that when you stick to what you know. So if you've grown up deaf, you've grown up in deaf culture... You're like, I don't want to hear. This is my culture. I'm not missing anything out. My life is full enough as it is. But if you grew up being able to hear, your life would be totally different. So when people say this part of my identity got me to where I am today because it allowed me to meet the people that I've met, it led me to do the things that I've done, Yeah, but in the same vein, if that part of your identity had changed, you wouldn't know, because you'd be doing other things.
I guess the problem is that we don't know we can look at the external world, and we can look at this person has more senses of the world and this person has less senses of the world, and we can arrogantly go one is better than the other. But what actually matters in life is subjective human experience and how you feel. Mm. Like, that's what actually matters. And if you had somebody who was born with all their senses and lived a normal sensed life, and then you had somebody born deaf or born blind or whatever, and they then led the life of being a deaf person or being a blind person, and their subjective human experience was better because of that, who is to say that one is better than the other one? And they lived this life where, yes, you know, they're part of this community, and they, yes, they're identifying as a deaf person to a certain extent, if they're getting offended by the idea of eliminating deafness in fetuses. But, you know, who are we to say? We're all frigging depressed. Who are we to say what's good?
Exactly.
We've got all our senses and we're still sad.
Exactly. I'm not trying to say that one is better than the other. In fact, you hit on a point that I feel is really important, that it is down to subjective human experience. And you don't miss what you never knew, which is why...
Yeah, exactly.
The people that have been deaf since birth, they're obviously perfectly fine being deaf because they've always been deaf. They've never been able to hear, so it's not something that's ever been an issue. But I feel like something that's a big problem with people trying to understand each other in this kind of issue is that I feel, and this is taking what I've heard from deaf people, from people with disabilities, is that they think of these kind of genetic engineering like feats as attacking them personally. They think, sure, well, what if I was no longer deaf or no longer had X disability or Y disorder?
Their life, wouldn't have existed.
Well, yeah. My life wouldn't have existed, or it would have been fundamentally different. Changed. But that's not the case for a fetus, because a fetus doesn't have a life yet.
Yes, yeah. But you are inherently, if there is a certain life that would naturally have come about, i.e. the life of the deaf child, that would have come about if nobody messed with it, and you have messed with it actively. You've gone in and gone, that life is less desirable than the life where you can hear. You have said that. There are two possible lives there, and you've gone, no, not the one that nature intends, the one that is... I intend. And you are saying that. Now, I'm not saying that that's bad, but that is what you're saying. And if you're going to do this kind of thing, if you're going to advocate this kind of thing, you do have to accept that. Because, for example, we live our lives like how we do. We go and work whatever hours per week we do. We go and live our lifestyle. We buy loads of stuff. And then there's hunter-gatherers who wander around and eat fruit and hunt things. And we say we have a better life than they do. And there's future us's that go and have computers in their heads and have the government reading their mind and have advertising pumped into their brains. And they would say that we right now have a lesser life than they do. And actually, we can look at that and be like, that's horrible,
that's
and
dystopian.
Awful. But that is where a possible future we have. And we are actively, some people, Google, choosing that future. And so I don't know whether... The argument here is not really about whether deafness is good. It's about whether we say, should the life that is intended naturally, if it wasn't bugged with, exist? Or should we manually, deliberately interfere to make a different life exist? And it's much more fundamental than whether deafness is good or not.
Okay, yes, I agree with you. One thing I want to put into this is that I, as a whole, I don't care what nature intends. So I when you're saying that I have to decide, I have to, if I go in and change it, then I'm deciding this one is better than that one.
Yeah.
Because this one is natural and is equal to that one.
Sure. But you are nature as well. So you are still what nature intends.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I feel like this argument is sometimes almost different for me slightly, in that I don't care about what nature intends. That doesn't matter to me. We could... Ultimately, we can just do what we want. I'm not saying that we should. I'm saying that we could do what we want, and what nature intends isn't a strong enough moral basis for not doing something. There are other moral reasons for not doing something, other ethical issues. But what nature intends, no.
But you understand,
because we've been going against what nature intends,
yeah,
for our entire lives, and
yeah, but
the entire existence
hasn't necessarily made us happier. That's my point.
I'm not saying that it has. I'm just saying that the argument of this is what nature intended is a poor argument for anything. We are not what nature intended, or we are what nature intended, and
sure. All I mean is that you are inherently making a value judgment when you're the doctor holding whatever it is you do this, injecting CRISPR or whatever you do, right? When you're the one doing that and you make the decision to initiate that, you are inherently valuing one of two possible lives as more important and more valuable, and another one as less important and less valuable. And I'm not necessarily saying you're wrong, but that's what the deaf person who disagrees with this is saying, is you are saying that I have a worse life because I'm deaf. You are saying that because, not because they specifically have the worst life, but by having the technology and by being the one who initiates it, you're saying this baby that's not born yet was going to have a bad life. I'm going to give him a better life. That is what you're doing. By extension, you're saying that current deaf people have worse lives. And I'm not necessarily saying that's not true. I don't know the answer as to whether it is or isn't true. But that's what they're accusing you of, and they are right.
You're white, I'm not. Fundamentally, you have a...
I
know you weren't exactly
You're white, I'm not.
You're white, I'm not. Yeah. Fundamentally, your life is much easier than mine is,
sure,
due to privilege because of the way society is.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the difference here is that we're not going to change people's race, because that...
Yeah,
here's
but
the thing.
You think, yeah,
here's
but
the thing.
That argument proves me right.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So the thing is, we're not changing people's race. And what I was going to bring it back right to is that the misconception here with a lot of people that are on the science side of we shouldn't care.
Mm.
They forget that one, biological race doesn't exist. It's when you're getting rid of a race, you're mostly getting rid of a shared cultural experience.
Sure.
Which is what deaf people have.
Yeah.
So callously saying getting rid of deafness is a good thing because your life is easier if you're not deaf, you're forgetting that you're saying to deaf people, your culture isn't valued.
Yes.
So I feel like it's less of a, your life is less valuable, and slightly more of a, your culture just doesn't exist, because deaf culture is absolutely a thing. So in saying...
if we had more deaf people because we didn't mess with fetuses that were going to be deaf, life would get better for deaf people, because there'll be more people who are deaf, so there'll be more funding and more development and more inventions to enable people who are deaf to have a more easier life in our culture, right?
Are you advocating for deafness?
Sorry.
No, I'm not advocating...
more deafness.
I'm just saying that people who are deaf and unavoidably deaf would
this
have a better life if more people were deaf, because they'd have more friends
the world
who understand
would be more
them
accessible.
And the world would be more accessible.
Yeah. The world would be more accessible if more people are deaf, and that's kind of the point, that we want to make the world more accessible. And that's what I'm saying. This whole kind of genetic engineering thing is not a replacement for accessibility. But ultimately, what is the difference here between hearing aids and genetic engineering?
Yeah, well, there isn't much, is there?
Because I was having a conversation on Twitter with someone about this, and they said, we need hearing aids, not getting rid of deaf people. And I was like, well, why don't you think of this as being hearing aids, but just using your body's genetics?
Sure, yeah.
Because that's what it is. I feel like, fundamentally, if you're against this, then you also should be against hearing aids or mobility aids.
The only difference with that is that the person can choose to wear hearing aids or not.
Yeah, but a person can choose to cut their auditory nerve if they want to.
I guess.
They feel they can. I feel, and some people were saying, wait till the child is old enough and then let them choose. If you've grown up in a culture, you're not going to choose to then leave it.
Yeah.
After like 18
See
years.
See you guys later.
It's a difficult question, because there's no right answer. It just comes down to who you are and who you want your child to be.
I think, honestly, like, I am on the side of saying that this technology, this CRISPR or whatever it is eugenics. It is very close to eugenics. And you should just accept that. Like, not you. Sorry. Just from the perspective
I do agree that it's close to eugenics.
Well, but there's a lot of people who are saying it's different. And it's like, if we define, essentially, if the genes you're born with and the world you're born into dictate the life that you have to a large extent, then choosing which genes get to exist in you and then keeping the external world, basically, the control, the thing you're controlling in the scientific experiment of having a baby is you control which genes are propagated into the world by your partner or by CRISPR, and then the world is the world. And by which genes you choose to put in your child, either by which partner you're with or by CRISPR, you are determining a large part of what their life experience will be. And there is no difference between selectively breeding certain humans and not allowing other ones to breed, and selectively allowing certain genes to continue existing. That's all breeding is passing on genes. And I'm not saying that's necessarily bad, but I do think science needs to own up to what it is that it's created, which is saying some genes are valid and some genes are invalid, and that those genes will create the world that we later live in. And we don't know the ramifications of the stuff we're doing. And it might be that 1,000 years from now, they look back and go, oh God, they fixed the gene for hairy legs, but it made us all have this horrible deformity that we now have 1,000 years from now.
I've got two.
And I'm not necessarily saying it's a bad thing. I'm just like, own up to what you're doing, man.
Yeah, fair enough. I've got a two-pronged kind of response to this. One, I feel like you're kind of looking at this as though using CRISPR to edit genes is the one thing we're doing. We're doing that to make life easier in society. I think that we can make society better at the same time. Just because you want your kid to have blue eyes doesn't mean that you can't make it easier for people who don't have blue eyes. You know what I mean? You can do both of those things at once. I don't think society should stagnate just because we're altering genes.
Oh, I'm not saying do anything different. I'm just saying be honest with what you're doing.
Fair enough.
I don't care what you do.
But the second
just,
point,
like, don't lie to yourself, man.
The second point is that the key difference between this and eugenics is choice. If parents are choosing to have genes in their children, fine.
Yeah, but it will be a very short amount of time in which this is choice.
Oh, 100%. Like, 100%. This is...
Like, it won't be choice for long. If we end up in a world where Down syndrome doesn't exist, it won't be a choice to not select for Down syndrome. Like, it won't be a choice because we won't have the infrastructure to deal with Down syndrome anymore if there's no one with Down syndrome.
That's totally
similarly
fair.
Like, if there's a world where 20 years from now there are no deaf children being born, one day there'll be 70-year-old deaf people and no young deaf people. So the young people going into politics won't care about the deaf people. There won't be as many Braille books being made because of all the old deaf people and no young deaf people.
Braille for deaf people.
Sorry, blind people. I was on a long rant.
No, that's totally fair. I want to have faith in my point is less the societal impact of this. I'm just trying to say that this procedure in and of itself is not a bad thing. A parent choosing to remove a certain gene from their child's genome is not a bad thing. That's not something they should be shamed for. And likewise, someone choosing to not do that is also not something they should be shamed for. I want to make it very clear that my point here is not edit all your kids' genes. My point here is do what is good for you and your family. I hope that if people have the choice to do this, we would not end up with a world without deaf people or without people with Down syndrome. It's that we'd live in a world where people are slightly more in control of the offspring that they have. If you feel like you're not equipped to adequately care for a child that has any kind of disorder, disability, or atypical phenotype, then I feel like you should have the choice to not do that and give your child a better life because that's the one that you can provide.
It's a different child.
Yeah, I mean, it's they're not the okay. This is my point: is the kid is not a kid until it's born. Ultimately, every child is a different child because they're all shaped by their experiences.
Yeah.
Whether if you decide to move to France, I can't move to France because now I'm going to have a different child. My child's going to be French. Sure, but like it's the future, so it hasn't happened yet. Nothing is set in stone. Again, I just want to make it clear that I don't think that we should get rid of people that are disabled or have disorders or any kind of genetic abnormality, and I'm not saying that,
but that is where it will lead.
Probably
that's what I mean, is I'm not, it's like I just mean don't lie to yourself, not you, but I mean like that is where it will lead. Everyone's bias against disabilities, they're bias against deafness, that and they will happily select for not that, and that is, you are saying those lives have less worth in our industrialized society. So, and as experiences to experience, you are saying that. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying, like, accept it. Like, accept that you're a bit deaf racist, man.
Look, fundamentally, to sum all of this up, people are all worth the same as each other. Nothing can change that.
Yeah.
Choosing to give your child a different life by whatever means, whether that's genetic engineering or moving to France, that's your choice because it's your child. Don't shame anyone else for their choices, whether that's changing their child's genes or not.
Yeah.
Just be nice to people and also try and make the world a better place for everyone because we all need to live in it.
And I also think that the complaining about this is kind of pointless because it's going to happen. Like, you can't stop technology. Like, everyone complains about, oh, the smartphone, oh, Google's advertising to us, oh, it's going to happen. Like, society marches on and technology marches on regardless of whether people complain about it. And the only thing you can do is be honest about what you're doing, what the world's doing, and try and then make whatever technology creates into the most loving version of whatever that is it can be, like you said, Corey. But I don't think we can stop this. Like, if it's not done by us, it will be done by the Chinese, or it'll be done by the Russians, and then if they have a race of superhumans, they'll just kill us. Like, you can't stop that happening. And or if it's not done by a nation state, it'll be done by rich people, or it'll be like someone will do it, and that, because those are stronger genes, will propagate in the gene pool and overtake the world. And you can't stop that. That's what the world is. It's a gene battle. Mm. And the strongest, in inverted commas, genes will win. Tough. Like, it's super sad, but that's what will happen.
Eugenics isn't science. I want to end on that point. Eugenics isn't science. Anyone that tells you it is science is wrong. It's not. It's made up by...
Sounds quite sciencey there.
It's philosophy.
Eugenics, racist philosophy dressed up as science. That's the end of the show. Woo! Wow. Thank you guys for listening. Thank you for listening. You can find the full references for this episode in the description. Subscribe for new episodes every Monday. And why not leave us a nice wee review? You can find and contact us at SciGuysPod on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. Or leave us an email at SciGuysPod@gmail.com. You can sign up to our Patreon at patreon.com/SciGuys.
And you can find...
Yeah, you can.
Yeah, you can.
I'm not Corey everywhere.
I'm Jeff Kidd everywhere.
I'm Luke Cutforth everywhere. Goodbye.
Bye.